listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complications.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Chronically Automated, the show that explores smart systems for complex realities. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly.
I'm your co-host, Anthony Labosco.
Today, we will get the intro eventually. What are we talking about? Oh, today we're talking about transforming distractions into productivity. So this one is huge all across the board, whether you're a neurodiverse human or a non-neurodiverse human, just if you're a human in general. So the statistic that's out there right now is 15 minutes. That's how long it takes humans to get back to what they're doing when something distracts them. So that could be your kids, your dog, a phone call, you know, a meeting, whatever it may be, whatever is distracting you. If you're working on like task work or productive work, 15 minutes. So it goes along with the notion of multitasking doesn't actually exist, because when you're bouncing back and forth between task to task to task and trying to go back and forth, it takes your brain time to reacclimate to where it was, and then now it's focused on this task, and which is why they say multitasking is so horrible, because you can never spend 100% of your time focused on that one thing. So if you can get rid of multitasking in your life, is what I always tell people, and focus on one task solely at a time, which is really hard to do, and we're going to hopefully give you some help in this episode to do that, you will find that the quality of your work is much higher, and the time it takes you to get something completed is much faster and shorter, right? You don't have to take as much time to complete tasks because you're solely focused on one thing at a time. That's kind of where we're going to go this week, right? Does that sound good to you?
Yes, that sounds great. I have a question for you already about
of course doing. You do. This is what's so great.
And the question I have is, I don't know the statistic overall right now. I could probably look it up, but it's got to be slower in terms of how we rebound, right? So being chronically automated. Well, I'm sorry. Being chronically, you know, having some neurological issues on that. I mean, I don't find myself when I am multitasking or someone's taking away from what I'm doing, it doesn't take me more than 15 minutes to recover. But yeah, in some cases, maybe it will, right? Especially when you're, you know, maybe not in the best headspace as well. But do you see that, Megan, like in terms of your... in terms of how you do it with ADHD?
Yeah, so the funny part with, you know, at least for the ADHD brain, my brain, and again, no two people are the same, right? So who knows how it is for somebody else with ADHD, but my brain bounces back pretty quickly. And that's why it took me a really long time to try to eliminate multitasking from my life. Because, and I still say try, because there are days when I'm still bouncing and I shouldn't be, because I know that I'm distracted. And my answer is this: it depends on the day and where my brain is, and it depends on the distraction. So we actually were just talking about this, and it depends on if it's an uncontrollable distraction or a controllable distraction. And what we mean by that is your kids, your dog, things that your environment, there are things that you cannot control. Like if you are somebody who's working from a coffee shop, you can't control what's happening around you. The fire alarm goes off. You can't control the fact that you have to stop your meeting and get up and move. Or like there are like uncontrollable things that it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to get distracted. Let yourself get distracted. Move on with your life. Like, don't focus on the things that you can't control. We don't care about those. I shouldn't say that we don't care, but for this episode, we don't care about those. We want to focus on trying to help people with the controllable distractions.
Right.
Meaning, like we talked about calendaring last week, and phone calls, and time blocking, and all of those things are in your control as a business owner, right? And your control as someone, as a human that can try to help yourself control that. So that's my best answer to that one, because there are always
on the day. Like, it just depends on the day. And that's what people really need to understand, whether or not you are neurologically challenged or not. I think, you know, everyone is a human being. We have good days and we have bad days. But for us, you know, some of the bad days are, you know, a little off too. Yep. So, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. And the reality is that we just try and, you know, stay somewhat balanced if we can. And the balance really is DMC and, you know, automation and, you know, things like that. So yeah, I'm excited about this conversation. This is good. Just don't distract me. Anyone, don't distract me.
Nobody distract me. Squirrel. Right now, I am dealing with an uncontrollable distraction. My dog, you know, because I really like to come out and sit in my sun porch. I like the sun, the vitamin D. I have glass, as you can see. There's glass above me. You know, it's awesome. Well, my dog is following me, you know, so she follows me out here. And now she's pacing on the other side of the camera here, like pacing back and forth. Like, why are you not letting me outside? Why are you not letting me outside? And this is what noise canceling headphones are for, because she can walk all she wants. I can see her, and you might see my eyes shift, but I can't hear her little tippy tap of her toenails. So that is solution number one.
Right.
Uncontrollable distractions. I hate to say it. If you are someone who works from home, works from a coffee shop, works not in an office, invest in a pair of noise canceling headphones, a good pair. Okay, so these I got for Christmas. My husband bought me these for Christmas, and they are the best things that have ever happened. I cannot hear my kids yelling at their video games. I can't hear my dog walking. I can't hear anything other than what is going on in my work world. And they're amazing. So I wear them all the time. I don't care if I look funny with my big old headphones on, because I'll tell you, I have AirPods. They don't work as well. I don't have the noise canceling AirPods. I bought a different brand. I don't know. Actually, they're Samsung, Sony, whatever the heck they are, of the little in-ear noise canceling. It doesn't work. It's not the same, because it doesn't cuff your whole ear. Oh, thank you. seriously, once you cuff your whole ear and you
have... You're so wacky.
Anyway, I don't care. Like, maybe the in-ear ones will work for you, but buy some noise-canceling headphones, because as long as I don't hear, for me, as long as I don't hear the noises, I can see them all I want, and I just, you know, I ignore my kids.
So I just want to say, I mean, obviously, I'm not one to stay silent, but I'm going to say something that I consistently say every week with us, which is choreography. And I just love that word in terms of, you know, with us and just with how we are really navigating, you know, the days, and just knowing that there are going to be, and this is perfect because they're uncontrollable things all around us. And we just have to know, in your case, right? So when Roxy, when your dog is running around and everything, and this is very important for you to be, you know, locked in and focused on something like this, noise canceling headphones are one way to, okay, cool, I'll put those on, and, you know, problem solved, sort of. And you hope the whole house is not burning down around you or anything like that. But overall, like, that's one good thing to certainly have. So I really recommend to everyone that, you know, there are some fail stop, if you will, in terms of how you can kind of stop the distractions, because like you said, it's really stinks to be stopped halfway through. And we had an issue today. Megan and I had a little bit of an issue, a calendar issue, right? So we talked about calendars last week, right? So, you know, there was a very small distraction. And by the way, it was my fault, obviously not Megan's fault, because she's the queen of automation and nothing kind of falls through. But I am not the prince or the king of automation yet, you know, but that is something that kind of derails things a little bit. So it's a matter of just trying to just be the best you can. So anyway.
And that's the other thing too, is, you know what? Just be a good human, right? Like, that goes for everything in life, obviously. I hope people are just trying to be good humans. Like, there's no need for ego, and there's no need for, like, people are going to screw up. People are going to get distracted. Shit's going to happen. Don't beat yourself up. Move on. Especially with the uncontrollable distractions. Anthony has a wife and kids. Sometimes with kids, when they're our ages, they're still teenagers, shit comes up and it's last minute. Always happens. It's just the way it is, like with sports or school, or even in the summer, something will come up and it will break your entire day and you just have to move on. We beat that down enough.
So
controllable distractions.
With the distractions now, so like you said, we kind of beat this enough on the personal side, but how does the distraction dilemma work on the entrepreneurial side, which is pretty
so
good conversation.
That's where automation is going to come into play, right? I mean, this is, I mean, I know we always come back to it, but automation and systems and processes. So not over automate. I'm not talking about, again, we're not talking about over automating things, right? You don't need to automate everything. But if you have the right systems and processes in place, or you're automating just the right amount of information, you can, or just the right amount of tasks, just the right amount of things behind the scenes in the business, it will allow you room for those distractions. I know that sounds super weird. Like, why would I want to open myself up for more distractions? You're not. You're opening yourself up to be more flexible.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the other one, is allow yourself flexibility, right? Eliminate the noise, eliminate the distractions as much as you can, and then you have to build flexibility into your systems and processes. They have to be flexible. They have to move. They have to, but not at the detriment of, like Anthony and I just talked about that. He had a calendar screw up and I said, okay, I jokingly said to him, all right, you get one more chance, man. Otherwise we're moving it. And that's not,
right? That is so true.
Obviously, obviously we will continue this, but you know, the point of that conversation was maybe we, you know, maybe Thursdays are too busy for you, Anthony, and that's okay. Be honest with yourself. We'll move this to the recording part of this to a different day. And that's the other thing, is be honest with yourself. Okay. Don't try to sugarcoat shit. Just rip off the Band-Aid, be completely transparent with yourself and be honest with yourself. You need to write a list of all the shit that distracts you. Write it all down. Now, here's a really great story, because I have been completely off my game this week. My team would tell you that. I have been so off my game because I had my computer was being really, really slow, and it has been this way for a couple of weeks. And I started to freak out, like, oh my God, my entire life is this computer. If it dies, my whole business is, like, I just started having like these panic and the anxiety attacks. Distraction, right? Uncontrollable distractions. Finally, to the point where I had to chat with Apple support, because it was no longer an option. Putting it off. I'm like, okay, I have to get it to a tech support person to figure out what the heck's going on. My time tracking tool, which is what we were going to talk about, I have been using a time tracking tool for years called Rescue Time. We're talking, when I say this is not new for me, we're talking like 5+ years I've been using some version of this tool. It runs in the background of your computer and it tracks everything that you do. And so it will show you and spit out reports of when you're like distracted and how much time you spend on each thing that you are working on. It connects to your phone, your computer. It tells you what Google Chrome tablet. I'm like, it's amazing. So I have it turned off now and I'm pissed because it runs in the background all the time and it tracks everything that you're doing. And it was taking up system resources. It was making my Zoom video horrible. It was making my video horrible and lag. Remember how, as in the past, when we've been recording and like the lagging of the video, and we're like, what is going on with your video, Megan? Like, you have a great camera. Like, this shouldn't be happening. I'm on high speed internet. I'm streaming Amazon Prime, Netflix, Stars, Disney, Hulu, all of my kids' computers, a PS5, a PS4, like all of this stuff is streaming online all the time and works fine with no lag. But my MacBook Pro couldn't run a Zoom meeting. So there's an uncontrollable distraction, because it was affecting the quality of my videos. It was affecting the quality of the Zoom meetings and whatever, right? So I had to stop. I had to pivot, like whatever. And now I'm super distracted and off my game, because I know that in the background, whether it's a mindset thing or not, that I'm not tracking my time. I'm not tracking where I'm wasting my time, and it's freaking me out. I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. I've been very, very conscious of everything that I do all day long. I spit out a monthly report every month, and I sit there on a Sunday afternoon and I read this stupid data geeky report that tells me over the last month, I spent X amount of hours on this, spent X amount of hours on that, X amount of hours on this. Oh my God, I spent this many hours on Facebook, you know, whatever, all that crap. Because then I figure out ways to get rid of that. Well, now I have to find a new way to do that. So we're going to figure out what that is, but I turned the app off. It is no longer running in the background, and knock on wood, there goes something jiggling the camera. Knock on wood that it, you know, everything seems to be running smoothly. So again, I have to just get over it, right? Like, obviously, resources of the computer are more important than this one app. I will find another way. I'm going to have to pivot. I don't know what changed, but that's a thing you can't control. Just get over it. So yeah, I don't even know what else to say about that. It's super frustrating. It makes me very annoyed and angry. But
I think you bring up great points, right? I mean, there are things that do happen that you're so used to in terms of working well and everything like that. Things are going to happen, and then all of a sudden they're not going to work well. So, yep. You know, I mean, we're not going to make this a therapy session, but overall, I mean, it is something that we have to, you know, and I do it, you know, on a daily basis almost, right? And, you know, whether it's content creation or, you know, sales or, you know, things like that too, that maybe this isn't working or that's not working. You just have to be flexible in terms of how to navigate through that. But overall, and I think the point, Megan, that you're making is that, you know, being able to be conscious and cognizant of the fact that there are distractions and there has to be some, you know, barriers and things like that in place. And if one thing did not work, then you got to find something else, because, you know, we all know ourselves and we know enough that something is going to happen. And if it does, it's going to kind of take us off. And listen, time is very important for us. For everyone, time is our most valuable asset.
Yep. It's the only thing we can't get back. So we're going to jump in then and give these people, that's not really cool. Hey, these people, give everyone listening the five things. So these are the five things that I think are the way to kind of reclaim your focus, right? I was going to pitch Rescue Time to you, right? Because that's been my favorite self-monitoring time tracking like app forever. I can't pitch that to you now. I just can't, because it pretty much destroyed my whole, I know, boo. So what I'm going to do some research. I am 98% sure that Apple has some built-in systems that are tracking and monitoring where you're spending time anyway. So if you're an Apple person and you've got an iPhone, I can't show you my iPhone because I'm recording on it. I'm going to do some research and we'll come back to you. That will give you an update on that. If you don't have an app or a self-monitoring app or anything like that right now, you can use Excel spreadsheet. You can write it down on sticky notes. I don't care how you do it. But step one is to identify where you're wasting your time and what your top distraction triggers are, right? So, and I'm not even kidding. This is going to sound like a ridiculous thing to do as an adult human. You're going to write down my kids, my dog, the ice cream truck. Like, I don't care what you write down, but you're going to create a list of your top distractions. There's probably going to be, and I want you to do it all day long. So I want you to, your homework is to like do this for a week, and anywhere there are similar things that are coming up. So like if you do this for 5 days, Monday through Friday, and you have one sticky note or one column for Monday and then Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, whatever it may be, I don't care how you do it, you're going to notice common things for every day. And those are your top distractions. When you get to day number five, on day number six, you don't have to work on a Saturday, whatever. Day number five, afternoon. Anyway, well, when you get to day number five.
You bring up a great point, yeah. Megan, that like, you know, I think the way this, the reason why, and I don't want to hijack everything that you're on the roll here, but when you're like, I take it from a point, basically, very simply, from point A to point B. How do I get from point A to point B? And if I am working on the weekends because I can't get from point A to point B in the time that I'm supposed to, I have to evaluate that. And, you know, whether
that's
or not distractions here, distractions there, or maybe it's just too much work or things like that too, whether you have to automate things, you know, put another level of automation in place, or, you know, just really right size, you know, everything too. And remember, you know, people like me that have autoimmune MS, you know, not staying up until 3 a.m. to work. I stayed up last night until 11 to work. And I felt hungover this morning. So it's like, you know, you just have to really, I mean, for some people, we have to be very aware of this stuff. So I love step one, and that's it. I think that changes.
No.
It changes every week, Megan, too? Like some distractions?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say no. It's going to be the same bucket of distractions. So one of the top, I would love for people to comment, you know, in the comments and on the YouTube channel, wherever you're watching this, drop some comments, because what I'm going to tell you right now, I can already identify what the top suck of time is. One is social media, right? I mean, we all have that. We got to get the heck off social media. I hate social media. If I didn't have to use it for business, I shouldn't say that. I met Anthony on social media. I've met my inner circle on social media on LinkedIn, but really social media is awful. Right? Like it's awful. It sucks us in, whether you're using it for business or for personal, it's going to be way up here. Okay. The other one is meetings. Meetings are a huge waste of time and a time suck. But like for somebody like Anthony, whose job revolves around meetings and sales meetings and talking to people, it's one of those uncontrollable distractions, but it is still one of your top distractions. So when it comes to something like meetings, that's when we get to step two. So okay, after you've done this for a week, right? You've done this for 5 days and you're noticing meetings, 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 like 5 days in a row, you just have meetings. You have so many meetings that you can't get one task completed. So you're up until 11 o'clock. You're working on a Saturday. You're working on a Sunday because you're trying to take, you know what? That means you have too many meetings, even if you're a salesperson. So here's what I do in that case, because I have a lot of meetings. Nope. This goes back to what we talked about last week. Do not disturb modes, like on your phone, on your computer, you put a focus mode on there or pick a day. I have a day. All day Wednesday is completely blocked off. Nobody outside of my team can book a meeting with me. Nobody. It is a content production day. It is a task production day. It is built into my calendar on a weekly basis. It is no meeting Wednesday.
Yeah.
Everything around that day is automated. Everything, or my team has tasks and they do tasks. And it is like a do not disturb day. Okay. If you're a small team, and you're a solo entrepreneur and you don't have a do not disturb day all day long. And I know you're sitting here going, Megan, you're insane. There's no way I could take an entire day with no meetings. I'm going to tell you something right now. Yes, you can. And you absolutely should, because what you will find is that you will actually be more productive on the days that you do have meetings. It goes back to what we talked about earlier at the top of the hour, when you're multitasking and you're jumping around and you're doing all this stuff. Not only are you going to get more done from a production operations standpoint for your business on that one day, you're going to be more productive in your meetings, and it's going to give you a dopamine hit. It takes a load off your shoulders. And if you can't do a whole day, then start with half a day and work up to a full day.
Well, for me, you know, as a salesperson who is, you know, like you said, having constant meetings, I think that going into a week, at least for me personally, I'm sure that some people can relate to this too. It's hard to say, all right, I'm going to put this day aside. I'm only going to put Wednesdays aside. No, I can't do that. However, what I can do is this. And what I do is this. There are, so I see how the week is going. I see where the meetings are. I stack them up. And next thing you know, I try and get a day to myself where I'm not going to be having a lot of meetings. So even though I'm not doing it specifically the way that you're saying it, the idea behind it is so important, because I can't tell you how just wonderful that is to be able to, let's say, do demand gen for, you know, DMC or, you know, whatever I'm doing and things like that, just looking around and just having a clear head to actually think. And that's so important. So
that's the big thing, is the clear head. It, when you start using some of these, I don't want to call them tricks because they're not tricks, but when you start using these systems and you start putting them in place, they clear up so much space in your brain, right? Like we talked about brain fog a couple weeks ago. Like these are all the things that you can do, that you can put in place into your life to clear up the brain fog. I will say this though, Anthony, I'm going to challenge you on this, because I get what you're saying, but I totally disagree. So for me, if it's not on my calendar, it does not exist. which means you are leaving yourself while you're being flexible. Think about what we just said. Time is the only thing that you can't get back. So you're almost being too flexible with that chunk of time. Like, you should own that time, your work time, that productive or that production time. You should, like, that should be lock and key, like, lock that shit down. And if it has to be 2 4-hour chunks and not one full day, do that. But I promise you, you should put that on your calendar.
I do that every day.
Yes, it's huge. Yeah.
For consulting and things like that, you have to put that time aside. And it's not even a question that, you know, you can do that. So, you know, again, it depends on your workflow. It depends on how you operate on the daily basis. And I think for you personally, Megan, because you are in such demand with what you do and things like that, it's so important because we need you to think. We need you to have your mind, you know, somewhat free so you can actually get things done and, you know, be creative and, you know, think about some things and, you know, maybe fund a new time app or something.
Oh my God. I'm so disappointed. Damn you, Rescue Time.
Yeah.
Anyway, but okay. So that's step one and two. Step three, task managers to like queue up and prioritize tasks. Distractions are never going away, no matter what. And there are so many task managers out there. You could just use Google Tasks. You could use Slack. You could use Asana. You can use a spreadsheet. You could just use your notepad on your phone with a little you know, it doesn't matter which one works for you, but you should have a task manager and you should data dump, brain dump all of your tasks. In fact, here's an AI tip. Pro tip right here. Open up ChatGPT on your phone. Click the little button so you can have a conversation with it, a live conversation with AI, and say, here's all my task lists for the day, the week, the whatever. I always do my task list on a daily basis because I have so many things, but I have a master task list, you know, that's a running task list based on the projects that we have coming in with the team and the business. But then I have my daily task list. And what I do every morning is I open up my phone. I literally have a conversation with Nixie. Nixie is our AI chatbot. And I have a conversation, Nixie, and I have a conversation and I tell her all of my tasks that I have to get done today. And then what does Nixie do? She prioritizes my tasks because I've been using Nixie for 2 years now. So she's a learning bot and she knows all about us. She prioritizes my tasks in the order of importance based on our business goals for the year.
That is unbelievable. I never thought of that.
I have a lot of conversations with ChatGPT, you know, because I don't have anyone here to talk to. So I talk to ChatGPT.
And you know what, Megan, that thing too, right? I mean, I know we're getting into, you know, step four, which I can't wait to talk about. But, you know, again, everyone that's watching this too, you know, you're talking to two people that are solopreneurs. Well, solopreneurs in the sense that we're, you know, working remote. We obviously, you know, have a team and, you know, people we speak with on a daily basis and everything like that. But we are the ones that are responsible for our time, for everything around us, right? So, you know, that's so important to do that because, you know, if you are walking into an office in a corporate environment and everything too, yeah, don't get me wrong. There are craziness that can happen there, but you know, you can be more locked in there, you know, when you're working from home and things like that too. Yeah. I mean, family stuff comes up and other things. So, you know, I mean, it's so important to.
Let's talk about that for a quick second. You actually just we're like way over timing and whatever. That's fine. I want to talk about that for a quick second, though, because we're going to talk about corporate America, because you know what? Even if you are in corporate America, you can do this. You have tasks working for somebody else. You can still talk to ChatGPT and they can still help you align your tasks. You can still use a task manager, your personal task manager, your company or whoever you're working for doesn't own that. You own that. Yeah. It is on you. 100%. Nobody can control that. So even if you're working for somebody else, get a task manager. For me, I am lucky enough to have Miss Andrea. She is the most amazing human on the planet. And I don't know where I would be out without her. I have a small team and I don't follow my own task manager. So I also have a human that backs it up to go, and slap me in the face with 80,000 notifications when I choose to ignore them, because I ignore notifications because that's what I do, which is completely unproductive. Notifications are distracting.
Which kind of goes against everything of being queen of all
nations, right? That's my point. Yeah. But yeah, so let's jump into 4 and 5 quick. We're going to kind of combine them together. So obviously, automation tools, right? You can batch similar tasks together. I always say when you batch things together, like groups of tasks, it minimizes the switching costs. And what that means is, even let's say you have 5 clients and you are doing the same similar task for those 5 clients, right? So we do content work for people. If I have 5 content clients and I'm doing, even though the brand is different, the task of the content creation is exactly the same, I do it all at once. So I'm doing this client, this client, this client, this client, this client, boom. But now that content creation portion is done and over with, and I can pass that off to the next person. Automations, like I have a bunch of email, like I have stuff for you, I have stuff for a few other clients that are like automation related tasks or building out workflows. Do it all at the same time, one after the other. Put your tasks into groups like that. Your brain, even though it's kind of, it's switching brands, you're not completely switching from, I need to build an automation workflow to, I need to write an email to, I need to go design something in Canva. Like that's totally different. And it's going to be different for every person because you're going to group tasks differently than I'm going to group tasks, right? For me, meetings and sales calls are so totally at the bottom of the list because I'm frankly lucky enough to have people that are doing some of that for me. You don't want me doing that stuff anyway. Anyway.
Well, you know what? One thing I want to add on here is that, you know, when it comes to automation, especially from a salesperson's perspective, and a lot of time that I take, one of the, you know, I manage a lot of different, I'm like a brand ambassador for, you know, different companies, different services and everything. So everyone has their own way of really going to market. And in one case, yeah, right, there's a lot of manual emails that go on in terms of, oh, we have a meeting tomorrow, or, you know, just, hey, did you send this again this morning or last night and things like that. Those are the kinds of things that take, those are necessary. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. I don't miss it, but it takes a long time. And I know you have been talking about that a lot, especially with DMC, because I'm not using DMC as a system for that. So that to me is amazing because that takes out a lot of, let's say, call it like task debt, if you will.
Yeah. So, and this is going to be one of those amazing things we're going to offer everybody who's listening. Email is one of the worst things that people spend time on, right? So before we jump into to what you guys will get, number 5 is automated check-ins or breaks. So the Pomodoro method, I always say that name wrong. I think it's the right Pomodoro method. Go out and Google it'll come up. So it's where you work for 25 minutes and then you take a 10 or 15 minute break. You work for 25 minutes and then you take a 15 minute break. And then you work, honestly, by doing that, which is, seems so counterproductive based on what we're talking about right now, like a distraction. But when I say break, I don't mean stop doing what you're doing and go work on something else. I mean, get your ass out of your chair and go outside, walk around your house for 15 minutes, go pet your dog, get some more coffee, get some water, eat something, get physically away from the task, physically away from your desk, physically away from the thing you are working on. And then come back and continue that task. I'm telling you right now, when you split it up into smaller chunks of time, again, you will be more productive. You will be more, you're able to complete that task faster. It has less to do with the distraction of leaving the task and more the fact with you're giving your brain a break. Because when you start doing this, when you start actually implementing these types of steps and you start focusing on one task at a time, your brain is working harder because it's like, I'm not going to let these distractions distract me. I'm focused, I'm focused, I'm focused. And it's almost like you can see steam coming off top of people's heads who do this really well, right? Because they're so totally focused. That's what the 25 minute break is for. You break, give your brain, your brain just needs to breathe. In fact, when I find myself walking around, I'm still thinking about the task that I'm working on, but I'm not physically there, like doing it, right? So I'm breaking and I'm walking around, and it's unreal how well it works. Wow. Now, again, that's me. There's plenty of other methods out there. There's Einstein method. There's that the quadrant method. I don't know what that one's called. I don't remember. I never remember the name of it. There's a bunch of other methods out there like that. But that Pomodoro method really works for me. And I think that it has to do with working from home and always being in my desk chair, or which is why today we're recording from my sun porch, because I have to change my environment to kind of, you know, shake it up a little bit. But definitely go check that out and try that. But back to what Anthony was saying. So we're going to give you a video. I created a video about emails and Gmails and setting up a project management style foldering system.
Man, I can't in wait your to Gmail. See that.
And I literally spend about 15 minutes a day on email in the morning. I'm not even kidding you. I'm not going to tell you about it. You guys go watch the video. I spend 15 minutes a day on my email. I shut it down for the rest of the day. And Anthony's had to do this. He's like, hey, did you get that email? And I was like, no, did you send it? And yeah, people literally have to text me, Slack me, or, you know, message me on LinkedIn or wherever they're messaging me to tell me they sent me an email, because I will not open my email unless someone from my team tells me there's something important there I need to read. Someone from my inner circle tells me they sent me an email. It's just not happening. I don't do it, because email is the worst time suck of any solopreneur or like solo entrepreneur, small teams. Email is the worst. And I just hate email, but I will drop that in the show notes for sure, because try it. You know, it may not work for you. I mean, maybe you have to. I know people that are using this method. I'm a good friend of ours, Tim. He's now using this foldering method that I taught him, but he opens his email like once in the morning, once at lunch, and then once in the afternoon. That's fine. That works for you. Awesome. Go for it. Right? Like, I load the email, so I don't open it unless I have to. You know, it's all about what works for you guys and tangible outcomes, right? Just monitor stuff for a few weeks at the same, you know, it might not work for you. What we're saying might not work for you. That's fine. But you have to figure out what does, so you can eliminate distractions, because they're not going away. Definitely not anytime soon. And the robots are only going to take over more. So figure out how to work with them instead of against them.
I was thinking today, you know, that we talked about like, please and thank you to ChatGPT, right? Because when the robots do take over, hopefully they remember that.
Always.
Word. Anyway.
That's a good way for us to end this episode. Be nice to your ChatGPTs, right? Like, please and thank you goes a long way. You know, if you want to reach out and talk to my girl, Andrea, she'll tell you exactly what happens when you argue with it. It doesn't work and it shuts down and it just,
oh, yeah,
you know,
I remember
just
you
stops
telling
working.
That.
It does right. not like it when you argue with it. Yeah. All right, everybody, this has been another amazing episode of Chronically Automated. Thank you, Anthony, for joining this journey with me and sharing all the wonderful. You're like building in public now. Did you know that? Because we're talking about DMC and all the stuff you're doing.
Oh, it's dynamic.
Yeah. And everybody remember, operations, technology, systems, processes, all the things only work, you know, when they want to. Sometimes they just don't work. And we're here to help you kind of get over that and hopefully help you save some time and energy, and so you don't waste your time and headspace on shit that doesn't really matter.
Always have a plan B.
Always have a plan B.
Right. So,
all right, everybody. Bye, everybody. See you next week.